Welcome to the City on the Hill Studios for our podcast this evening. God bless you for being here. We've got the whole crew back here tonight. I've got Benji to my left, Julie to my right. We've got Nat sitting behind the producer's table, and I'm Pastor Danny, and we're ready to roll tonight. I'm so encouraged in the Lord. God has truly, truly done the supernatural in this past week.
Amen.
You know, yes. Sometimes the way things are today, it feels almost too little to give testimonies because it's almost like we're just saying them in passing. And I never want to say testimonies in passing. I always want to give glory to God. But we literally saw the blinded eyes healed. They now see here at the City on the Hill this week. God's doing things.
Thank you, Lord.
Doing big things, and he's doing greater things, as Jesus promised. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to get into a topic, and we'll see where the Holy Spirit takes it today. But I was sitting at my desk this morning, and sitting there, I don't know why, but it's an old card that we used to have here at the City on the Hill. And the old card, it says, the harder the testing, the bigger the blessing. And I've seen that card, I don't know how many hundreds of times. I've seen that card over the years
we've handed a bunch of them out.
But for some reason, it struck my heart this morning. And so when we got here ready for the podcast, I said to them, I said, I really want to talk about testing. And I don't have anything particular I want to say. I just felt like it was an opportune time to talk about what it means to have and the need. You see, that's the important word, the need for godly testing. And I'm going to have you both read scriptures in just a moment. But I kind of want to preface all this with what's in my heart. The church world today, by and large, they have this idea that the God, you see, this goes back to what I talk about all the time. I just got finished talking about it on Wednesday night. But because the church world today feels the need to only talk about the gentle side of God. We'll just say it like that. They use words that only talk about the gentle side of God, and they never bring up the fact that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They have taken out the majority of God's character, and they push the side that they feel is going to get the seats filled up for them. They push the thing that makes it easy to navigate being in the world. They push those things. Again, I bring this up many times, all the time. But the example I always use is the Jesus commercials that they run on TV.
He gets us.
He gets us. He's like us. He knows that we struggle with things, and so it doesn't really even matter if we try. It doesn't really matter if you're homosexual. It really doesn't matter because he gets us. And that's been so pushed by the church world today that they've had to, while they can't deny that there's testing going on, they've had to put the focus on the testing, is testing without a purpose. Well, there's no real reason for testing anymore. God doesn't need to test us. That's not really who God is. So what is actually turned into, and Julie shows me this, people that she's friends with, people that she knows on Facebook all the time, like daily, people have this idea as well, I'm suffering for Christ, and there's no purpose for it. I'm suffering for Christ because it pleases God that I'm suffering. And as long as I know I'm pleasing God, then I can suffer and be happy about it. And that's really, I was going to say one of the stupidest. I guess maybe I need to be a little more tactful with that. But it really is when you think about that God would just have people suffer for no, and there be no purpose behind it. That's not the God that we serve. They would rather think that God makes people suffer for no reason than actually say, you know what? God expects me to be responsible. God expects me to surrender to where his anointing is at. God expects me to do things a certain way according to his covenant. God expects me to climb the mountain. They would rather throw all that away and just say, you know what? I'm just going to suffer for God because that pleases God.
Well, at the risk of, I don't want to turn far away from where you're going, but just to add a little note about the suffering and the reasoning behind it by Christians is they read throughout, you know, Paul and the apostles when they mention, you know, about suffering.
Yes.
And suffering is, we've got to endure suffering and strengthen ourselves in our suffering. And
people write books about that.
You got to remember the context and what was going on at that time, that Paul and the apostles were in the middle of turning the whole world upside down with when Jesus had just come onto the earth, and they were it was a time that they were in the middle of losing their lives and being beaten, and you know it was a different kind of time, and we don't need to take that, you know, those words, they were speaking about their specific circumstances. And just like you have said many times, not to make doctrines out of the things that the apostles and Paul were experiencing, that the actual doctrine, as is in Timothy, well, says, that's we find that in the prophets and the scriptures,
well, that's
of the
right.
Old Testament.
And if you don't understand the doctrine that comes from the Old Testament, then you're not going to understand how you're supposed to be living for Christ. Julie's correct. She sometimes I forget. Forgive me for how I say this, but I forget what people don't know, and she's exactly right. It is if you forget that our doctrine comes from the Old Testament, and you forget that the apostles were just relaying their particular circumstances that they were called for. And let me give you an example. The apostle Paul, you know, talked about his eyes and how his eyes.
Yes,
and
people, I almost brought that
people
up.
People take that and they say, well, clearly God wants sickness to be. No, God used that particular instance in the Apostle Paul because the Apostle Paul was uniquely called at that time, in that time in history, to begin to preach to the Gentiles. He was uniquely called, and God said, I need you to look and be like this for my purpose. And
it is specifically said that there was a specific purpose.
That's right.
For that affliction that Paul
and was let me just say this to
enduring.
Anyone that thinks that they're that's them. If you haven't been called up to the third heaven like the Apostle Paul, then it's not you. That's not you. God wants you healthy. God wants you healthy. And I remember my dad used to tell people that all the time. He said, God wants you healthy. But getting back to specifically what we're talking about with testing, and what it is, people have so taken out the idea of what testing actually means that it has become this thing of, well, I'm just going to suffer for God. I'm just going to suffer for God. And suffering for God does nothing. It does absolutely nothing. I'm going to repeat myself. Suffering for God does absolutely nothing. What does something is when you are tested. What does something is when you endure tribulation, or you endure persecution for the betterment of your faith so that God can use you even greater. I want you to go ahead and read. Benji, go ahead and read the scripture I gave you to read.
All right.
Where is it from?
We're in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." Verse 7.
Well, now, let me stop for a second. Notice what it says, if need be. In other words, if there's a purpose. If there's a purpose behind it. Not just some random suffering. Well, God gave my husband cancer, and we're allowed my husband to get cancer, and we're just going to suffer for God and be happy about it. That's so ridiculous. Has nothing to do with the word of God. Keep reading.
Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Again.
What a powerful scripture.
What such a powerful scripture.
What a powerful scripture.
Such a powerful scripture. You see the idea of trials, of testing, for your benefit, so that you can be a part of Christ coming back. Think about it. And that's what we've given our lives to, is to bring Jesus back.
Yes.
That's what we've given our as being a part of the work in this world that brings Jesus back. And that's exactly what that scripture is talking about. It's not by accident that Peter also is the one that said you should look for and hasten, do something to make it happen quicker, the coming of our Lord and Savior. You see, Peter understood. Peter understood. He walked with the Lord, and he understood. He knew what needed to happen. What a powerful scripture. Julie, can you read the scripture that from James that I gave you to read?
Yes, from James. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing."
Again, you see the purpose of testing and trials is for your benefit, so that you become a better,
mature, complete
minister, Christian, remnant. Let's throw that word in there, because again, if you don't allow that in your life, then how can you be the refined remnant that God? That's how the remnant is found, when the rest is cut away. When the rest is cut away, what's left? The remnant. And how does God find that it happens? He finds it through
testing. Yes.
That's how he finds it, through testing. Go ahead, Benji.
You know, I hope this doesn't sound like it's getting, if it's not getting off topic, but you know, when you say that you're suffering for God, it makes it sound like you're doing a service for God.
Right.
But you make it sound like you're doing a service for God by suffering, when, like he just said, God testing you, which is what it actually is for your benefit. And when it comes to doing services for God, suffering does not need to be what your service to God is. You could service God by doing work for his kingdom.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. Those two scriptures are so powerful. And again, I just got finished saying the doctrine comes from the Old Testament, but that those two scriptures are actually two men of God that are explaining the doctrine from the. That's what they're doing.
Yes.
They're explaining how a Christian is supposed to receive testing in this day and age. Benji, read from right here, just that first verse from Genesis chapter 22.
It says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am."
That's the scripture where God was having Abraham take his son on top of the mountain to sacrifice him. And if you're watching this, you probably know the rest of the story. of how they went. And I've preached from it so many times. So I don't want to get into that. But the first verse is what's important for what we're talking about today. And that is, it says that there came a time where God, in his covenant with Abraham, where it was once again time for him to test him. He wanted to see where he stood. He wanted, and that literally means to put to proof. It means to test it to see, oh, is this real gold or fool's gold? Is this some crystal or is it a diamond? What are you made of, Abraham? That's literally what that means. It means to put to proof. There's other scriptures that use that same word. We read about how God brought his people to a place where there was water, but it was bitter. And God says, throw the tree into the water. And they did it, and they obeyed it. It became sweet. And it says there God tested. Other translations say God proved. He proved his people. You see, as a covenant remnant person, man, woman, child of God, God is going to prove you. He's going to test you. He's going to see what you're made of, not so that he can stand on the bowels of heaven and say, oh, look how I've made them suffer. He's doing it for your benefit. Right. He's doing it so that you can become so great in the Lord that you can stand before anything. That's why God does it. God, we know Abraham as Abraham, but the reason we know Abraham as Abraham is because God tested him.
Yes.
That's why we know him as Abraham, because God tested him.
It's like being a trainer taking a person through grueling workouts to help to build their muscles. God tests us so that we can go through things and we can become more trusting every day. And we can stand firm on the word of God and not be shaken when circumstances come that would make somebody else just melt into a puddle and cover their head and say, I don't know what to do. Yeah. The person that's been tested and been trained by the Lord how to withstand looks at those circumstances and immediately looks at them through eyes of faith.
Well, you see, and that's, let me say two things. Number one, if you're not looking at this whole thing through the spirit world, the spirit eyes, then all you see is just, well, useless suffering. And if you believe in God, then you just have to say, well, God just must have chosen me to suffer. He's chosen my husband, my wife, my child to get sick. And so that just kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where you're always sick. And it has nothing to do with God. You're always lacking. It has nothing to do with God.
God's people have formed their own theology based on experience.
Absolutely.
And also, rather than looking at it and seeing, testing for what it is, They formed their own theology just from the experience.
It's so you could be mighty in God.
And also, if you're willing to go through that suffering, then you're opening the door for more suffering to come through.
That's it. That's what I was trying to say. That's exactly right. Now, the second thing I want to say is that we have heard, you have actually, even not that long, not very recently, there's been... things that happened in people's lives. We'll just say that.
Yeah.
And their response in text or on Facebook, in group chats, things like, you know, when you would maybe or we would maybe put something, you know, listen, let's see what God's trying to do in this. Their response is always, oh, I don't believe God would do that to people. I don't believe God would test people like that. God's a God of love. He wouldn't test people. So the only alternative is, oh, there's just people just suffering for no reason then. That's the only alternative. People don't understand, and here's another part of the whole equation. The other part is people don't realize that if you're not walking with God, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer if you don't walk with God. You're going to have death and destruction. And we have heard people that claim to be the best Christians in the world, and they say, no, I don't believe that God would allow people to suffer just because they don't serve him the way you do, or just because they don't believe the way you. I don't believe God would. No. The church is so messed up.
So messed up.
It is so crazy how messed up it is.
No wonder the people who don't serve God sit and shake their head and go crazy, crazy, crazy. What's being put out there as truth makes no sense whatsoever.
Not even to sinners. To get into it would take too much explanation that we don't have time for.
Basically, the devil has tried to make it so that Christians are so deceived themselves that they can't properly turn the unbelievers to God.
Right.
It's a double whammy.
But God tests his people. He tests his people. And he tests us. I would encourage everyone listening to this to go read Hebrews chapter 12. Mm. Go read Hebrews chapter 12, where it talks about our responsibility of removing sin, but not just sin, the weights, the big things in our lives. It says, remove those things so that you can have eyes only for Christ. And then it talks about discipline. It talks about how God disciplines and chastises, is the old biblical word, his children. But here's the reason why. The reason why he does it is what it says later on in that same chapter. It says, unless any person falls short of the grace of God. You see, the church world has completely taken out that scripture and said, we don't need that scripture. No one can fall short of the grace of God. It's what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. God's going to chase me down with his grace. And it doesn't matter what I'm doing, God's going to chase me down with his grace. And that's not biblical. It just isn't. And so because they believe that, they don't understand that God tests his children to make them strong in the Lord so that they do not fall short of the grace of God. So they do not fall short of the plan of what God has for their life. And again, it is a sobering, sobering thought that I've talked about it and read from it for several weeks now, what A.W. Tozer, where he finally sat there and he said, I'm kind of scared. He said, not for his own life, he said, but I'm scared because these Christians don't realize that you can fall short. They don't realize that God's saving the remnant. That's who God is saving. He said, this is real, and Christians don't realize it. They don't get it, because if you understood it, you would invite God's testing, and you would rise up and say, God, like Abraham, it says, God said it was time to test Abraham, and so he called Abraham, and what did it say Abraham said?
Here I am.
Here I am. God, I'm ready. I'm ready to be tested. I'm ready.
Can I talk for a second?
Please.
A little more doctrine from the Old Testament. A person who underwent so much testing in his from the time he was a young man until the time he was a ruler over one of the largest civilizations in the world, and that was Joseph.
That's right.
And if you think about his life, all those Sunday school lessons that you've been a part of and learned about the account of his life, everything he went through from the time he was a young boy up until he was leading the whole nation of Egypt.
About the quickest from the bottom to the top as you can get.
Through a famine that would have destroyed, just completely destroyed millions of people. And in Psalm 105, it points out and just says this. It talks about Joseph. It says, they hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Joseph was tested by God, but for a purpose.
So that he could be a king.
So he
so that he could
not
be a king or a ruler.
He could not have the responsibility that he had and be in the place, position of authority that he had to save his people unless he passed test after test to trust God.
Let me say this. The reason people say, well, why are you even talking about that? Here's the reason why. Because if you don't believe that God makes you responsible, if you don't believe that there is a law of God that stands, I'm not talking about law of Moses, but if you don't believe that there's a just law of God that you are responsible to keep and to live by, and to please God with by faith. If you don't understand that you have responsibilities and God requires of you if you're going to be a part of the remnant. If you don't believe that, then you're not going to be able to receive testing from God. Because at that point, it's not testing.
You won't recognize it.
That's right. It's not testing. It's just God doing these indiscriminate things. To really receive and recognize testing, you have to understand that God requires of you. You have to. Because if you don't, then it's not testing in your life. It's just things happening and you just...
You just think that it's just arbitrary.
It's just a part of life.
Arbitrary experience.
Well, that's just a life principle because... Every test has a requirement to pass the test.
You would think that would be understood. And you know, you cannot, there is tribulation. There are trials. But the idea is, what's the purpose of it?
Right.
What is the purpose of it? And what is the end result? And the end result should always be victory. Jesus said this.
That's right.
He said, in the world... This is Jesus. He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But then the very next statement.
Yes.
But be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. I've already overcome it. In other words, you do what you're supposed to do, you're going to be all right. Because I've already done it. And it just depends on how you view God and how you view what we're supposed to be doing for God. If you understand we have a responsibility, and again, people don't like that, but that's because they don't hear the whole truth. Right. They don't hear the scripture, lest any man fall short of the grace of God.
So you're willing to sit in suffering to cop out of fulfilling requirements for God?
Exactly. Instead of climbing out and say, God, I've passed the test. You think it was easy on Abraham when he climbed that mountain? You don't climb a mountain in seconds. It might have been days that they were climbing that mountain.
Especially at 100 years old.
You think that it was easy for Abraham to climb that mountain with his son, knowing that he was taking him to kill him? But the Bible says in Hebrews 11, it says Abraham knew that he had already, the literal translation is he had added it up. He put it all together and he says, I'm going to go and sacrifice my son. But God is able to raise him up right back up to me.
Yes.
Because he knew that he had to be tested. He had to be tested. Well, praise the Lord. I hope that somebody somewhere has heard this because it is an important part of becoming a remnant Christian. That's what we talk about climbing the mountain. That's what climbing the mountain is all about. It's saying, God, I'm climbing the mountain as a part of being tested. Because I know when I get there, I'm going to meet you. I'm going to meet you. Praise the Lord. Benji, give us the end of everything they need to know.
All right. We got a regular Sunday morning, 11 a.m. services. We have Wednesday night at 7 p.m. services. All of those are in person and also on our online platforms, which include Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, City on a Hill Church or COA Church. Our online functions every week include devotions every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online. Remnant 101s with me every Tuesday at 8 p.m. online. Calling the Remnant podcast every Friday at 8 p.m. online. You can listen to those podcasts on Spotify, anywhere else podcasts are available. Siri and Alexa can play those podcasts for you. And we're also in the middle of preparing for the Easter season. Our Easter services include Palm Sunday on April 13th, Good Friday on April 18th, and our Easter Sunday service on April 20th.
Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Remember, the harder the testing, the bigger the blessing. God bless you. We'll see you.